Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Many bear enormous burdens from decisions they desperately wish they could undo. Keeping dark secrets from your mate takes a toll on your mind and heart, and only by coming clean can the past be faced and a happier future enjoyed. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Dr. Lutzer continues a series on the marriage puzzle, why commitment can do what love can't. Listen now as we hear more about moving beyond your past and the kind of pasts some have to move beyond.
You're parenting out of your wound. See, that's why the Bible says, beware lest a root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. If you forget everything that I've said today, and I'm pouring my heart out to you, will you remember that whatever you do not forgive, you pass on? She doesn't see it. You just don't understand the depth of my pain. Now, folks, I understand. I understand it may take years to come over something. But if you're old enough to be married, you're old enough to finally, once for all, lay it down. But she won't, because it is her identity. That's what it's become. Let me give you another example. Many years ago, I was preaching in Florida, and I don't know what I was preaching on, but a man and I struck up a conversation, and he said to me 20 years ago, he said, I had a very brief, fleeting affair, and because I'm a Christian, I confessed it to my wife, and she professed to forgive me, but, to this day, she still, quote, rubs my nose in the dirt. Very interesting. Now, I have to ask you a question. When that dear lady goes out with her friends, her girlfriends, as the ladies sometimes call it, what do you think she says to them? Does she say, you know, 20 years ago, my husband had an affair and it really gave me power? Oh, with it, I can win any argument because I can always remind him. In fact, I don't even have to remind him because it's always there. It's always understood. When he asks me to do something that I don't want to do, I don't have to do it because he knows right well he owes me. As a matter of fact, not only does he owe me then, but let's suppose that he's doing something that I don't like. I can lord it over him. I can control him. There is nothing that he has done in our marriage that has so empowered me. Is that what she says? Of course not. Now, I'm making this up because I don't know the whole circumstances, but I know human nature enough to know that that's probably what's happening. No, no, no. She says, you know, my husband had an affair 20 years ago and I forgave him, but, you know, we're still working through our issues. That's what she would say to them. But actually, it's her means of control, 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 control. Now, why is it that these people just don't simply give it up? It is because of loss of control. Think of what would happen. You see, she doesn't have to respect her husband, even though the Bible commands her to. Who can respect a man like that? You say, well, do these ladies pray for their husbands? Of course they pray for them. And what I'm saying about the ladies, by the way, can also be said about the men. You understand that. But of course they do. They're always enlisting God's help to bring about a change in their husbands that they would like to see, and that they want God to be their companion in chipping him into the man that he should be. And the wastebaskets in heaven seem to be filled with all kinds of unanswered prayers that the angels take and burn with the trash, if there is such a thing in heaven. Because the one thing she will not do, the one thing she will not do, is to simply give her husband to God, to trust God for him, to trust that if he is unfaithful or something, God will reveal it to her. God can do that in many different ways. Respect him and speak well of him. That she will not do. Like one couple, it was said of them, oh, they buried the hatchet, but the grave was shallow and well marked. And so they keep going to that grave, and I might add, and when you looked at it, you could see a pathway made to it. Power, power. I've got it over you. So what you need to do is to lay it down. Now, if you're thinking with me, and I believe that you are, the next question that you're asking, always be asking questions while I'm preaching. I'm sometimes doing that too while I'm preaching. You heard about the preacher who dreamt he was preaching, and then he woke up and found out he was. If you're tracking with me, you have another question. That is to say, okay, all right, you have my number. How do I lay it down? Well, we've talked about the cleansing of the conscience, which oftentimes should be done with someone else present, a pastoral staff member, an elder, especially in some of these real hard things, some of which I've outlined. But then what you need to do is let me give you some very important steps. First of all, I think that what you need to do is to get over this idea that you don't have to forgive unless you feel like it. I heard a counselor say that one time, and I strongly disagree. Of course you can't forgive right away in the sense that here you have this injustice. If somebody were to rape one of your children, to say, oh, well, now, you know, he did it this morning, but by evening, you know, we've forgiven. No, no, no. I understand that it takes time. I understand the healing process. I know that these things aren't just so nicely cut and dried. But there does come a time when you, as an adult walking with God, choose to put it down, whether you feel like it or not. Force yourself to, because it's biblical. The Bible says to forgive others. Of course I know that when there's unfaithfulness, there has to be a time not only of forgiveness, but the rebuilding of trust. I get all that, but I'm talking about you. You dear single mothers, God bless you. God bless the single mothers. I'm so glad that we have a class for them here at the Moody Church. I plead with you, do not parent out of your woundedness. Don't parent out of your woundedness. That little boy that looks so much like the man you are tempted to hate, don't hate him, but love him and learn to parent not out of woundedness, but out of wholeness. And you can't do it without forgiveness. I'm telling you that what I'm asking you to do today is to like crawling through the eye of a needle. It's that hard. But it has to be done. There is no way. This may be surgery without anesthetic, but you've got to do it. Secondly, don't ever think that if I forgive somehow, it lessens the horror of what was done. See, that's such a big mistake. Come to the conclusion that all rational people should come to, that the harm, that the bitterness is doing you is much greater than it is the person who victimized you or the person who took advantage of you, and in the name of Jesus, lay it down. In fact, that's what I'd like to say. If the first step is to choose to do it, the second is to simply say, I take a good look at it. I have camped here. I have lived here. This has been my lifeblood, my woundedness. And in the name of Jesus, I want to pour it out at the foot of the cross because I want my wound to become a scar. Scars are great. Jesus will have a scar in heaven. Because a scar means that there's been healing. It's a reminder of the fact of where you've been, but a scar means I can move on. I don't have to be dragging this dead body into our marriage and carrying it around year after year. And so what you do is you take a good look at it. In some instances, weep for your past. I mean, if you lost an arm, no problem weeping over that. Why not weep over a lost childhood if that's what it takes? But then third, be sure that you substitute your own wounds with the wounds of Jesus. The Bible says in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, verse 5, it says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his wounds, with his stripes, we're healed. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, how does that work? How does that work? Well, the answer is this, that through the wounds of Jesus And you remember the beautiful song by Charles Wesley, five bleeding wounds he bears received on Calvary. They pour effectual prayers, they strongly plead for me. Forgive them, oh forgive, they cry. Nor let that ransomed sinner die. It is because of the wounds of Jesus. Jesus took what he didn't deserve, namely our sin. You say, my husband doesn't need forgiveness, deserve forgiveness. Or you say, my wife doesn't deserve forgiveness. That's not the issue. Nobody deserves it. But the Bible says that Jesus died on the cross, so Jesus got what he didn't deserve, our sin, and now we in turn get what we don't deserve, namely his forgiveness and his righteousness as belonging to us. What a glorious exchange. And Jesus said, now that I can forgive you freely, now that your sin no longer needs to be an issue between you and me, why don't you forgive as you have been forgiven? Begin to live your life through the prism not of your woundedness, but of my woundedness. Because ultimately, he bore not only our sins, but the Bible says he also bore our sorrows. And there at the foot of the cross, thanking God for what was done for us in Jesus, we discovered that if Jesus was willing to do that for us when we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. Why can't I exercise the same grace to somebody who has victimized me? His wounds were not self-inflicted. His wounds were inflicted by evil men. And out of those wounds, scars developed, which we're going to see in heaven, because it says, I saw, as it were, a lamb that had been slain. I expect in heaven to see the wounds of Jesus. But they'll be not wounds, I should clarify that, but scars. And you'll be there too, maybe with your scars, but the wounds will be gone. Today my heart is heavy for the many people who are working out of their wounds. They are living out of their wounds. They are hurting others because they themselves have been hurt. I hope that we have been a blessing to you, and you know the only way we can be a blessing to you is because we have many partners throughout the country who support this media ministry. And once again, I'd like to encourage you to go to moodymedia.org. You know, when you go there, you'll see many different sermons and opportunities for learning materials, but also you can see and link there for endurance partners. When you click on that, you'll discover how you can become a part of our ministry. I always call it a part of our family. Helping us get the gospel of Jesus Christ to many, encouraging those who are wounded, letting them know that there is hope in the gospel through Jesus Christ and that all is not lost. We're committed to your families, to your vocation, and helping people make it across the finish line. MoodyMedia.org, Endurance Partners.
Erwin Lutzer with more on Moving Beyond Your Past, the second in a series on The Marriage Puzzle. Next time on Running to Win, more on letting our bitterness go. The Marriage Puzzle series can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Pastor Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.